Change my life, and I will praise you. I worship you tonight. Are you thankful? Hallelujah. That he didn't see what you were, but he saw what you could be. Thank you, Jesus.
Something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is.
see the glory. Hallelujah. Oh, you have been making. He's a great king.
Sister Hell for recovery. Amen. That God will give her a speedy recovery as well. In Jesus' name. Also want to pray for Mary Salgado tonight, who's in need of strength for surgery. Willie Sims is in need of healing tonight as well. Adrian Campos and family, they are on vacation. That God will have his hand of protection upon them. Minister to them. Also for Taylor, Victoria, Ellie, Hale are in need of healing tonight. Want to pray that God will bring healing upon their bodies. There's much sickness going around, church, so want to pray for all these that are sick in body. Also for Carolyn Hodge tonight, is in need of healing tonight. Amanda and Pete Cortez are in need of salvation. They have a special need. Also for Brother Charlie tonight, is sick in body. Want to pray for him for healing upon his body. By the uplifting of hands here tonight, if you have a need, want to present your need before the Lord. We also want to go on behalf of the service. As the word of the Lord goes forward, the God's anointed word will continue doing a work in every heart that is here. Also, the offerings bags are out. We're going to collect our offering tithing unto the Lord. I want to pray for that as well. Let's unite together once again on behalf of these things in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you once again in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we pray on behalf of Sister Hale tonight, who's recovering from this surgery. We pray that you will continue giving her comfort and strength, my God, in this time, Lord, that she's in recovery, that you'll give her a speedy recovery, for you are the comforter. We're believing, let the power, the anointing of your spirit, God, just from the top of her head, Lord, just go down to the soles of her feet. My God, give her strength. Also, Pastor Hell, we can pray, continue to pray for him as well, that you will minister unto him, dear Lord, and also that your Holy Spirit, God, will minister and bring a complete healing upon his body. In Jesus' name, we're claiming it in Jesus' name. Sister Mary Salgado tonight, who's in need of healing. Willie Sims tonight, my God, that you will minister to him. Also for little Taylor, Victoria, and Ellie Hill. They are sick in body tonight. We pray, dear Lord, let your virtue flow through their bodies. We rebuke this Henry, this sickness out of their body as well. Brother Charlie as well, who's sick in body, and Carolyn Hodge. Lord, we pray for their healing. It's the stripes upon your back that you bore at Calvary. We're believing right now, Lord, for a miracle, dear Lord. Also for Amanda and Pete Cortez. Lord, they are in need of salvation. You know their need tonight. Lord, we bring them once again before you, that you will continue doing a work in their hearts, and that your Holy Spirit, God, will draw them here into the house of the Lord, where they may receive truth, my God. We pray for Adrian Campos and family as they're in vacation, that you have your hand of protection upon them. Minister to them. We pray for every uplifted hand here in the house. You know every need here of your people. Dear Lord, minister to every need. Also, your anointed word. Once again, we pray that the power and the anointing of your word will continue to do a work in every heart that is here. We pray for every backslider that is out there in our city. Dear Lord, that you will minister unto them. We pray for every lost soul in our city as well. We claim them in the name of Jesus. Dear Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Let's worship the Lord in our giving as we take up your offering here tonight.
Oh, Him for your mighty presence. God, touch this service here today. Oh, let us feel your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. This is a joyous time of the year. This is a time for families to get together, a time for much eating of food. And I know there's going to be some that you're not going to eat any more than what you would normally eat, but I have found it to be true that during the Christmas season, people do tend to eat a whole lot more than they do any other time of the year. And I had one person tell me, they said, oh, it's a time of festivity. And I say, yeah, but don't make yourself sick. Yeah. Amen. But it is a joyous time of the year. It's a time where families get together. We enjoy one another's company. And of course, we cannot leave out Christmas as a time for people to give. We give gifts at Christmas. This is what retail businesses have fed us for years, that Christmas is a time for giving. And so they will lure you in to their establishments to get your money. And I have found it through the years that what they call a sale is normally not a sale. They just have convinced you it's a sale and you are getting a good price for the product. But you will find, if you will really take time to study it out and to watch, you'll find a lot of times it's not so much the items on sale as much as they are promoting this item. They are pushing it as a sales item. And people are buying these products because they feel that they have to give. Amen. And so our society is consumed on two scopes. It's either giving or receiving. And that is just life. Life is giving and receiving. But the greatest gift that has ever been given to humanity was when Jesus Christ gave of himself. Oh, yes. Praise God. I'm so blessed today because of what he gave. He gave himself. Amen. And the purpose that Jesus came was to seek and to save that which was lost. And that is you and I. We were lost without a Savior until he made it possible that we could have our sins washed away. Amen. In the beginning, the Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth, and that is who we serve. We serve the God of creation. And it comes to us again in the second verse. It says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Most scholars and theologians will tell you that between verses 1 and 2 was when Lucifer was cast out of heaven. And when he was cast down to the earth, he began to bring havoc upon God's new creation. And the Bible says that all of a sudden it was without form, it was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved. Can I say that the Spirit of God is moved from the very beginning, and he is still moving here today? Praise God. Amen. You can follow it throughout the history of the Old Testament into the New. And you can find where the people of God had many adversaries amongst them. But every time God moved in the behalf of his people, and his Spirit made the difference. We find that when God created, amen, mankind, I do not believe that God did not know that sin was going to be rampant among us. But God was making a way, and it started from the very beginning of creation, a way of escape from the sins of our world. We find in the Old Testament it was by the shedding of blood of animals that would literally push ahead the sins of the people for a year. And so we see on a yearly basis this atonement sacrifice was given. It was not until the book of Matthew, as the Bible begins to speak to us about the birth of this virgin's baby that was to be born. There was many times in the Old Testament that it was prophetically uttered about the coming of this Messiah. But it wasn't until, and it was before the New Testament era, but it was still under the law dispensation that Christ was born. He was born with a purpose. In Luke 19 and 10, it reads, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save." Everyone say, to save that which was lost. And so Jesus Christ came, walked amongst men. He performed various miracles. He was drawing humanity to himself. And it was Jesus through his teachings that he continuously gave us in the scripture nuggets of truth of that which was to come. We see it all unfolding at Calvary when Jesus willingly spread forth his hands and allowed them to crucify him. And then on that third day, he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. 50 days later, we read in the scriptures where he first poured out of his spirit according to the prophetic utterances of the prophets of old, that he would pour out of his spirit upon all flesh. And we see it happening first in Acts chapter 1. It was after there was 500, according to Corinthians, there was 500 that were seen and that were spoken of by the Lord. He told them to go to Jerusalem and there to tarry for the promise that would come from on high. And so we do read where out of those 500, only 120 made it to Jerusalem into the upper room. And the Bible says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. I'm telling you, it's still happening today. It's still a promise that's being poured out today. Oh, hallelujah. And to those that he gives his spirit to, he also gives them power. Power, amen, to share this gospel message, amen, to those who are lost. As Jesus Christ came to seek and to save, when he filled you with the Holy Ghost, he put that power in you to continue his mission of seeking out those who are lost, bringing them in to the house of God where they too can find their salvation. He empowered his disciples with this gift of the Holy Ghost to share it with others. Amen. Amen. I'm going to go to the book of Acts chapter 8. And I want to read a few verses of scriptures in your hearing. Tonight I do feel to teach on the need of the Holy Ghost. As I have already been teaching, last Wednesday night I talked a little bit about how we are able to help the seeker receive the Holy Ghost. And then we've also talked about, amen, the biblical. We got to make sure that we are in the Bible when it talks about what we must do to be saved. And as I mentioned, this holiday season, so many individuals get it so construed. It's not so much, though it's not wrong to give gifts, but it's not about gift giving. It's not really about even receiving, but it is about what Jesus did for us. Why God, who was manifested in the flesh, his purpose of coming when he was born of a babe in Bethlehem over 2,000 plus years ago. It was for the sole purpose of being that perfect sacrifice that could remit sin. So he filled his disciples with this power, with this Holy Ghost. And in Acts chapter 8 verse 14 he says, "Now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as of yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost." Lord, I ask you to help us tonight. Lord, we thank you for what this time of year represents. And Lord, we will be thankful for what you gave. I ask you, Lord, talk to our hearts through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So I'm simply going to entitle tonight my thoughts, my words on what does the Bible say about what it takes to be saved. What does the Bible say? Amen. I'm not really interested in what man says. I want to know what the Bible says. It may come from your lips, but I want you to show me in the Bible. Because that's what's important, is what the Bible says. There are many denominations in our world today. It's churches that hold to a particular faith or doctrine. My main focus tonight is going to be on the biblical facts. Everyone say, we want the facts. A biblical salvation on what it takes to be saved. It's not important to what a church says, but it is important to what the Bible says. The Apostle Paul was in prison along with Silas, and they prayed, and the Bible says they sang at midnight. We're familiar with that story. And the Bible says that in the middle of their praise service, an earthquake shook the very foundation of the prison. And the jailer thought that all of the prisoners had escaped. Now, in those times, if you were the jailer and your prisoner escaped, whatever their sentence was, you fulfilled it. And so this jailer thought, if they've escaped, he took a sword and was going to slay himself. And it was the Apostle Paul that cried out and said with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Can you imagine what that jailer then felt? Relieved. In Acts chapter 16, it says, "Then he called for a light." He called for a light, and the jailer sprang in. He came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, What must I do to be saved? Because you've got to recognize this jailer had already heard what it was that Paul and Silas had been preaching in the city. He already knew why they were thrown into prison. He already had possibly had heard their testimony. And so when the earthquake shook the foundation, can I say I believe the jailer thought these two men were something special. Amen. Because it was God that was with them. Because he heard them as the other prisoners had, as they were praising and magnifying God. And the Bible says the jailer asked, "What must I do to be saved?" I believe we are living in a generation of people, those that you rub shoulders with on a daily basis, that truly deep in their heart, they want to know what they must do to be saved. I don't believe if anyone was honest would tell you they wanted to go to hell. They want to be lost. But I truly believe even those that are going to various churches in our community that they have a desire that they were to be saved. And so the jailer asked the question, what must I do to be saved? And they said, speaking of Paul and Silas, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word. And so we must look a little further, a little deeper into what Paul and Silas delivered unto the jailer. Because if it was just to believe, we live in a world of people that go to church that just say, we believe, but just believing will not save you. It takes believing, but it takes more than just believing. But they did not stop at just believing. Verse 33, and he took them, the jailer took Paul and Silas that same hour of the night. He watched their stripes and was baptized, he and all of his. Anytime you see the word baptized, it is often referring to both a spiritual birth and a water birth. So it is both water and spirit birth. In Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 5, Philip went to preach Jesus in Samaria. And verse 8 says that there was joy. Oh, I want you to know when we begin to hear the preaching of the word and when we begin to reflect on our lives and what the word has done, I want you to know that brings joy unto us, because when the word goes forth, we remember what God delivered us from. We know how God saved us. But as Philip preached in Samaria, there was joy for what they heard as Philip preached. Verse 12 states that they believed on what Philip was preaching. But more than just believing, they acted on what they were taught. Verse 12 also says that they were baptized, both men and women. Not only were they baptized in the water, because their spiritual birth was be incomplete without the full birth. Verse 14 tells us that Peter and John came to Samaria to help Philip with this revival. Verse 15 tells us that they prayed for those who were baptized in water that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 16 tells us that they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 17 says that when the apostles laid hands on them and prayed over them, they received the Holy Ghost. Paul wrote to Timothy that the Lord, in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So what we want to know is what truth? What truth was this being stated of? We don't want doctrines of men, but we want to know what the Bible says, how to be saved. What did Jesus say about how to be saved? Nicodemus was a man of the Sanhedrin court, the high court of Israel. He came to Jesus wanting to know how to be saved. So Jesus gave him a direct answer. In John 3 and verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In John chapter 3 and verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? In verse 5, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So it was Jesus explaining to Nicodemus about being born again. In verse 6, Jesus said, That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In verse 8, Jesus explained concerning what it was to be born of the Spirit. He likened the Spirit as the wind that is blowing. Jesus said, You don't see it, but you see the results of the wind. John chapter 3 and verse 8, The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but you can't tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. And so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. In John chapter 7, Jesus talks about those that receive the Holy Ghost. In verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many churches only teach that you only have to believe to be saved. They take John 3, 15 through 16 as their scripture to express their doctrine. But John 3 and verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 3, 16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But these scriptures are hand in glove with the preceding scriptures in this text. They all flow together. Jesus was still talking to Nicodemus. In verse 9 of John, let me go to it quickly. John chapter 3, verse number 9. It said, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Verse 17, though, is the key verse in tying all of these verses together. verse 17 says, "For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So the key word here is through him. It says that the world, let me read it again. "For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Paul said in Romans 6 and verse 23, "For the wages or the penalty of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Our salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul stated in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." So our salvation is in Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. So how do I apply this salvation in me? Too many look at salvation as a mystery. How do you really know you're saved? That is to the church that doesn't understand. I'm using that terminology because I don't care who you talk to. They go to a church and they feel their church has biblically a right doctrine. But we cannot take bits and pieces of the Word of God to make a doctrine. We have got to take the whole Word. And we have to make sure that the Word that we hold to is doctrine has a balance that other scriptures will literally back up what you say you believe. Colossians 1 verse 26, "Even the mystery." That word "mystery" in the Greek means simply a revealed knowledge. So it's not something that you don't know. Let me keep reading. "The mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." I want you to know the Lord knows them that are his. Those that are born of the water and of the Spirit. Those who have taken on his name in baptism. That's how you get into the family of God. You take on his name. In the same sense, in the physical, any man or woman that comes before a preacher to be united in marriage, to be a part of one family, she takes on the man's name. When we come to the family of God, we've got to take on the name of Jesus. And you take that name on in water baptism. So he says, it was hidden. It was a mystery. But now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So this so-called mystery became a revealed knowledge to the saints that have been born of the water and of the Spirit. And it is Christ in you. So salvation is Christ in you. Does it only come by believing or by confessing? If you go to Romans chapter 10. But first we've got to remember that the epistles were not letters written to the unchurched. But the epistles were letters written to the churches that were established in the book of Acts. I do not have the time tonight to go through the book of Acts and show you where the church of Ephesus was referenced, or the church of Thessalonica, or the church, and we can go on and on, but they're all found in the book of Acts where they had their beginning. So we must remember the epistles were written to the church. These are letters written to the churches that were established in the book of Acts. Amen. Acts chapter 10 and verse number 9. It says the words I used, I quoted, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We cannot, though, take a text of Scripture and make a doctrine. We must look at the whole context of that Scripture. When you look at Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse number 1, it gives us the understanding. It says, now, who is this letter being written to? It says, the saints, not the sinner. Romans 1 verse 7, to all that are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. The epistles or the letters, as I have stated, were written to the churches that were established in the book of Acts. These letters, the epistles, were not written to the sinner, those who do not have the Acts 2 verse 38 experience. But let us go to Romans chapter 10. Paul is expressing to the hearers the importance of hearing the word of God preached unto them and then acting upon what they heard. In verse 8, it said that the word of faith which we preach. Let me read starting at verse number 11. I just read to you verse 9 and verse 10. Verse 11 says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all believed, because they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Paul said that not all have obeyed the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is Jesus Christ. The good news. The gospel is the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the gospel is in us. When we receive the Holy Ghost, it is applying his life through separation from the world. It's applying his death through our repentance. It's crucifying our flesh at an altar and through a change of one's lifestyle. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Jesus spoke of the importance of repentance. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 5, Jesus said, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We apply his burial in water baptism. We are buried with Christ by having his name pronounced over us as we are buried in water baptism. To be buried means you are immersed. You are completely gone under. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Or we always remember when the word Father in the scriptures is written, it's being spoken as the Spirit. God is a Spirit. John 4 verse 24. And so we are raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so even we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So we are buried with him in baptism. His name is applied to us in baptism. It brings on the blood of Jesus to remit our sins. The Apostle John stated in 1 John 1 and verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Again, whenever we read the word son, we could also insert the flesh of God, because it was God manifested in the flesh. John also stated that confessing our sins is the act of repenting of one's sins. 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. I know this Bible study tonight is so simplified, and it is the doctrine that we hold to. But can I just insert here tonight? This is what Christmas is all about. Paul said in Galatians 5 verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We cannot walk in the Spirit without the Spirit in us. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. If you've ever studied, you recognize that in the book of Acts, it started at Jerusalem. From Jerusalem, it went into Judea. From Judea, it went into Samaria. Then from Samaria, it started to be spread abroad upon the face of the earth. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is being filled with the Spirit of God. Paul said it's Christ in you. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and that the Father... Amen. I'm telling you, Jesus gave it very plainly. He wanted you to understand that he and the Father are one. That's why Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father also. John 16 and 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So the biblical plan of salvation is the born again experience. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent, repent. You can't get the Holy Ghost without repenting. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the message that Jesus proclaimed, that you must be born again. This message proclaimed, and it must be preached in order to see or even to enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus, before his ascension into heaven, spoke to certain disciples in Luke 24 and verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, that was to die, and to rise from the dead the third day, his burial and his resurrection, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. The Apostle Paul let us know that those without the Spirit of God cannot understand the spiritual applications of the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Without the Holy Ghost, there's a lot of things in the Scriptures you are not going to understand. But when God fills you with his Spirit, there will come an understanding.
So they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we who have the mind of Christ. When we receive the Holy Ghost, it's the Spirit of God that will lead us into all truth. John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. Jesus saith unto him, how have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Amen. So the biblical plan of salvation, the very sole purpose of the coming of the God that we see as he created the heavens and the earth. Amen. This Christmas is because of his plan. And so the biblical plan of salvation is repentance. It's water baptism. It's Holy Ghost infilling. The greatest gift that you can give this year would be this understanding of what it takes to be born again. I'm thankful. I'm blessed because of this truth that had been imparted to me. Oh, is anybody else thankful? Is anybody else excited about what the Lord has given? What a gift! What a gift! That's why you can walk different. That's why you have a different talk. That's all I'm telling somebody here today. Amen. Don't neglect your gift, because it was the greatest gift ever given to humanity. And he's still pouring it out. I said he's still pouring it out. Thank God it's not just for me. Thank God it's not just for you, but it's for your family. It's for your friends. I'm talking about a gift that you can share with somebody else. Hey, let's come around these altars here tonight and let's be thankful.